Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, this morning, we are going to hear from the greatest preacher who ever walked the face of the earth, and it's not me. I just got to tell you that it's not me. Today, we're going to be looking at a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon that Jesus Christ preached, and it is the greatest preacher who ever lived, and so we got to pay attention this morning. And this morning, I have a very specific and sincere desire and prayer for all of us, for me, my heart, and my family, but for all of us as a church family. And that is that this morning we would be brought very close and very near to the Father heart of God. That all of us today would be enveloped in the deep love of Jesus Christ this morning. And that all of us would be filled with a faith and expectation, even as many of us hold in our hearts different hopes and dreams and disappointments and unmet expectations in life. My prayer is that we can experience the love of the Father, the beauty of Christ's arms around us, and our hearts then being filled with faith by the Holy Spirit for what's ahead. The title of this morning's message is this, loved ones, God loves when we ask. God loves when we ask. And I'm taking you to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. So if you have a Bible, grab your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand and one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life transformed by the living word of God. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I'm going to give us 3 points from this passage of scripture that I trust will help you be enveloped in the love of God, will help you see and be filled with faith that God loves when we approach him, and God loves when we ask. So this is where we're going to start. God loves when we ask. Here's point number one. We must then respond to his invitation. We must then respond to his invitation. I want you to notice verse 7 again in your Bibles. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. I want you to see in this context that this is a beautiful and powerful invitation. That Jesus Christ is looking to the crowds, and as he looks to the crowds, he's presenting God the Father as a good God who invites his children to ask him. a good father who waits willingly to hear from his children, and having already taught them about how they should pray earlier in chapter 6, and having already taught them how they should fast while they pray in chapter 6. Now, Jesus doubles down and opens his arms because he knows that in this context, the crowds are filled with anxieties. And the crowds are filled with fears. And the crowds are carrying burdens. We know this based on the context. They're worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear. That's chapter 6, 25 to 34. They're concerned and therefore in danger of focusing too much on the things of the world, so much so that they're beginning to live in a way that lays up for themselves treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven, treasures that last. That's chapter 6, 19 to 24. And so he invites them again to faith in God, to simplicity, to humility, to honesty before him. And so before we go any further, it's important for us just to stop right here, take a deep breath, and recognize how these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached originally in the first century context of first century Judaism, how these words transcend his first century context and come to land upon our hearts today with our particular challenges that we are facing today. And I want us to stop for a moment to recognize and to receive the truth that Jesus would look to each one of us with love and with compassion and say, oh, loved ones, you don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about the mortgage rates. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about the political landscape. Don't worry about what's happening around the world. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Bring your burdened hearts to God. Look how he feeds the birds of the air. Look how he dresses the lilies of the field. Aren't you more valuable than them? Look and see. So stop and know, God loves you, God sees you, and God invites you, and he invites me, and invites our church as a collective to the deep and rich experience of responding to the invitation of Jesus Christ. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Notice it again in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. So let's break this down a little bit. What exactly is Jesus inviting us to? What is it exactly does he have in mind? Well, you can make a note of this. Jesus invites us to bring our requests to God. That's the first thing we see. In verse 7, he says, ask, and it will be given. Ask. Now, it's not completely out of the ordinary for me as a father to see my children doing something or struggling along with something and for me to come up to them and say, hey, do you need some help? And they're kind of struggling along with whatever they're doing. They say, yeah, do you mind? I say, hey, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you ask? If you just asked me for help, I would have come. Right? James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And there's a sense here that God loves when his children ask. I, as a father, I love when my children ask me for help. I move towards them when they call on me for assistance. How much more our Father? And this is the sense of the text here, that God delights in his children's request. The sense that at the heart of this invitation is a father who doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be burdened. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to carry our burdens alone. If you would only ask and find all that you need in the Father, Jesus invites us to bring our requests to God. There's a second thing I want you to see. Not only to bring our requests to God, but Jesus invites us to approach him with sincerity. To approach him with sincerity. Notice in verse 7 again, ask and it will be given to you. Here it is now. Seek. seek and you will find. To seek here, it means to earnestly and sincerely look for. Seek. The idea is not only to bring our request to God, but the idea is to look earnestly and expectantly for God and to God in the process of our asking. As we bring our request to Him, we come with sincerity, a sincere vision of, I want to see you, God. I want to experience you, God. I'm looking for all that you have for me, and ultimately, I'm looking for you. And we say this very often around here, that the end game of all our prayer is God Himself. The end game of all of our praying is His glory. The end game of all of our praying is that Christ is our reward. Christ is our treasure. And Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Bring your requests, but seek and you will find. And as you're seeking, make sure you're looking with sincerity, looking ultimately to God and recognizing ultimately God as our source and our treasure and our great reward. So Jesus invites us to bring our requests to God. He invites us to approach Him with sincerity. And finally, Jesus invites us to actively pursue His ways. To actively pursue His ways. Look at verse 7 again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Notice this now. Knock and it will be opened to you. The idea of knocking is an active, persistent, steady pursuit of a particular door or entrance or a gateway. Did you get that? An active and persistent and steady pursuit of His door, His way. In all of our praying, we want to knock that the door would be open. For sure, we're bringing our request to God. We're looking for Him, but we're looking for His way. We're looking for His door. We're knocking actively in a steady pursuit of Your will, Your way. Lord, I know as I knock on Your door, You will open it. And sometimes I'll knock on the wrong door and You'll reveal it to me and You'll move me and say, no, Jason, that's not the door. Come knock on this door and be active and steady in knocking, and the Spirit will bring us to the door that He wants to open before us. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Loved ones, and Jesus invites us to ask. He's beckoning us to bring all our requests to God. When He invites us to seek, He summons us to an earnest, sincere longing for Him. And when Jesus calls us to knock, He invites us to the active pursuit of all the doors that will open up into the room of His glory. That key that will unlock His purpose, His best, His timing for our good. Now, this is important because some of us have been asking and seeking and knocking, and we're growing weary. We're getting impatient. We're getting frustrated. We're starting to take matters into our own hands. We're thinking, man, I got to make this happen for myself. But just rest in this invitation to come to the Father and rest and wait and trust and ask and seek and knock. He's listening. And He loves when we ask. God loves when we ask. We must firstly respond to His invitation. And secondly, this, God loves when we ask. We must then expect His good answers. We must expect His good answers. Notice verse 8 now. Jesus goes on to say, then, for everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. On the screen for you, John Piper, commenting on these very verses, wrote this. He wrote, "This has proved, in my experience, to be one of the most motivating passages in all the Bible to pray with the confidence of being answered. When Jesus says He will give good things, He means that. Only good things. And only He knows, ultimately, what is good for us." But if we're honest with ourselves this morning, you're listening to the first part of the message already, and some of you are saying, I like that, Jason. Something's drawing my heart, but I'm a little discouraged, and something in you says, I don't really believe the words of Jesus. Because I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been knocking. Now, some of us are saying, if God loves when we ask and he promises to answer, why do I feel like he is not listening? Ever feel that way? It's been a long time I've been praying for my spouse's salvation. Why do I feel like he's not listening? It's been a long time since I've been praying that God would provide me with a spouse, and I feel like he's not listening. It's been a long time since I've been asking God to grow our family, and it's just, I feel like it's not happening. It's been a long time since I've had this dream for ministry, and it's just not happening, whatever it is for you. Maybe there's someone here or a handful of people or a bunch of people that are saying, I'm not sure that I can believe the words of Jesus because it just feels like he is not listening. Well, listen, loved ones. I want to share with you three reasons why you may feel like he is delaying or not answering, but it is actually not true. You can jot this down. Our ask may be, firstly, too small. He has something bigger. You say, I'm not getting what I'm asking for. But one reason that may be, our ask may be too small. He has something bigger. And by the way, only he can define what that is. We all have our own understanding of what the bigger faith-filled prayer should result in, but we would be mistaken to lean too hard on our understanding, because only God can know what the bigger, the most impactful, the most fruitful answer will be. So one of the reasons you may be sitting here saying, I'm not getting what I'm asking for, it could be that God is saying your ask is too small. Just wait, there's something bigger coming. Consider on the screen for you what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, I thank God that he is not prepared to do anything that I may chance to ask him. And I say that as a result of my own past experience. Lloyd-Jones says, in my past life, I, like all others, have often asked God for things and asked God to do things which at the time I wanted very much and which I believed were the very best things for me. But now, standing at this particular juncture in my life and looking back, I say that I am profoundly grateful to God that he did not grant me certain things for which I asked and that he shut certain doors in my face. At the time, I did not understand, but I know now, and I am grateful to God for it. Such perspective, loved ones. And when you live the Christian life long enough, you share that testimony with Martin Lloyd-Jones, don't you? You live the Christian life long enough, you realize, man, there was things I was asking for, there were things I was seeking for, there were doors that I was knocking on, and I was sure this would be the best for me, this would be the best for my family, this would be the best for the church. I was convinced that this was in line with God's will, and I ask, and I seek, and I knock, and nothing happens, and you look back, and you say, man, thank God that I didn't get that. That was too small. My vision was too small. God had something else, and now I'm walking in it. Or maybe you're here and you have yet to walk in to what that is. We must pray with faith, but we need to pray with completely open hands. We want to be people who believe and trust that God ultimately knows what is good for us. Amen. So you say, if God loves it when we ask and he promises to answer, why do I feel like he's not listening? Well, our ask can be too small. He has something bigger. Secondly, our ask may be too narrow. He sees the broader picture. Our ask may be too narrow. He sees the broader picture. Again, John Piper goes on to say this on the screen. He says, the point is this, God ignores no prayers from his children, and he gives us what we ask for or something better, not necessarily easier, if we trust him. I want you to visualize a huge canvas or Visualize a massive quilt, a huge canvas that's being painted, or a huge quilt that's being woven together with many colors and many depictions, and it's beautiful. Just picture the huge canvas here. This is like the will of God. This is like the purpose of God for all the world. And he's painting a beautiful canvas, and he's weaving together a beautiful quilt. And you know what we get to see? We get to see a little tiny corner of the painting, a little tiny a thread of the canvas, the quilt that's being woven together. And we make our judgments based on that little tiny corner, but God sees the whole thing. He sees how the things we're asking for are going to weave together into his beautiful plan. And if it doesn't weave together as he so desires and wills, he's going to redirect our prayers. And you're sitting here today, you're saying, man, sometimes I feel like he's not listening. Well, it could be your ask is too small. He has something bigger. Or it could be your ask is too narrow and you just haven't locked into that reality that God knows everything, and I know very, 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 very little. And so you have that experience sometimes where you're asking and seeking and knocking, but God doesn't come through in the way that you're asking. It could be because you just don't see the bigger picture. Wait with faith, wait with expectation, wait with joy for how he will weave it all together. If God loves when we ask and promises to answer, why do I feel like he's not listening? Our ask may be too small, he has something bigger. Our ask may be too narrow, he sees the bigger picture. Finally, this, our ask may be too soon. His timing is always better. His timing is always better. Again, on the screen for you, it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said this. He said, the worst thing that can happen to a man is to succeed before he is ready. Now, I take that, and I've laid that to heart so many days because I have a lot of dreams. I'm asking for a lot of things. I'm seeking for a lot of things. I'm knocking for a lot of things in my life, in my family, in my marriage, with my children, amongst us as a church. And I have to remind myself, the worst thing that can happen, Jason, is you get what you ask for before you're even ready, and God knows when you're ready. This principle is powerful because the right thing in the wrong time can be disastrous. And so when Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, at the center of the invitation is a God who beckons us to trust his wisdom and to trust his timing, to ask with great expectation and to rest in his answers. Whatever he is doing, it is for our good. And we need to be a church who is resolved in that. We are resolute. We are asking with faith. We are praying. We are seeking. We are knocking for a number of things, but we are resolute in this truth. We believe in this. He knows what is best. We don't. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep trusting. Because God loves when we ask. So we need to respond to his invitation. And we need to expect his good answers. Finally, God loves when we ask. We must then understand his heart. We must understand his heart. Notice verses 9 to 11. Powerful illustration by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? A few weeks ago as a church, we entered into a week of prayer and fasting. We were praying and asking and seeking and knocking for a very specific opportunity to purchase a permanent building for our church, a place of hope for the dark city that we live in. And the week of prayer and fasting was very powerful. I spoke with many of you, and it was a powerful week. It was one of the most powerful weeks for me that I can remember in a long time. Just such clarity and seeing God at work and seeing His hand at work and perceiving His voice. Many of you shared that. You'll remember that the week of prayer and fasting culminated in a very powerful service that we had together. We had a sweet moment of worship, and many of you will remember that moment of worship. And if you weren't here, it's not probably what you think. The power went out, and the sound cut out, and the instruments were out. It was pitch black in here. And then the church began to sing, and the church began to rejoice, and the church began to glorify God. It was a beautiful, sweet moment. And I got up here, and I didn't know if any power would come back for me to preach, but we just recognized, man, that week of prayer and fasting is ushering us into so much of what God has for us, and the enemy hates it and is attacking, but greater is the one that is in us than the one that is in the world. And the church could not be stopped, and Jesus Christ was worshiped and adored. And that night we had a prayer meeting, and that week so much happened, and God surrounded us with everything we needed, and we were moving closer and closer to solidifying a purchase. I'm telling you, we're getting there. Things are falling into place. God is surrounding us with everything we need. There are moments I'm looking around, I'm like, why is this here? Why is it? Where did this come from? I didn't even know how we're so surrounded by everything we need. I remember then speaking to our agent, who told me that the listing agent assured him that he saw no reason why the seller wasn't going to go with our offer. There were three offers at the time. He said to me, Jason, I think this is locked in. We don't know for sure, but I think this is locked in. I mean, he says they're favoring you out of the three offers. Door after door was opening. We walked through each door with faith and confidence and open hands. After 2 days of silence, I got a call. We were in an elder meeting. It was our agent. Jason, I don't know what to say. They decided to go with one of the other offers. That didn't make much sense. All signs pointed to us acquiring the building. Except we know that God must have something bigger. Except we know that God sees the broader picture. Except we know that God's timing is always better. And so as elders, we said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your answer as we asked, as we sought, as we knocked, as we fasted. Thank you, Lord. We are now more filled with faith than ever before that He has something bigger. He sees the broader picture, and His timing is always better. But how exactly do we know that? Some of you, no doubt, are disappointed. You say, okay, Jason, come on. You told us to have faith. You told us to believe. You told us to pray. You rallied us to fast. You rallied us to the prayer meeting. You made it sound like this was locked in, that God was going to give this building to us. How do we know God has something bigger? How do we know that He knows the broader picture? How do we know that His timing is always better? Well, we know that based on the illustration that Jesus Christ gives us right in the passage of Scripture. I want you to look at it again in verses 9 to 11. Jesus says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Why don't you got to live in the text for a moment? You got to just put yourself in the context. Jesus is saying essentially, don't be anxious about tomorrow through the broader context. Don't be too concerned about temporal earthly treasures. No, God knows all that you need. He knows what you desire. Ask, seek, and knock. And then Jesus says, come here, come close. Pay attention. He says, look up. Look at me, Jesus says, look up. He says, let me say it another way. He says, look at me. He says, you fathers, you're having trouble believing that you can ask, seek, knock, and that he'll give you what's best. Come on, come close. I want to tell you something. You fathers, when your little boy or your little girl comes to you and asks for bread, do you turn around and give them a stone so that they can bring the stone to their mouth and break their tooth? He says, if you're having trouble believing this, come on, listen, listen. He says, which of you, fathers, mothers, your son or daughter, ask for a fish and you give them a venomous serpent that will hurt them? Who does that? And the crowd is processing, and the crowd is thinking, and the crowd is making the connection. If my son asks me for bread, I don't give him a stone. If he asks for a serpent, I don't, fish, I don't give him a serpent. Then Jesus brings it all together. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. He says, now, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. If you can do it, God can do it a million times more. If you have it in your heart to do it, God has it in his heart to do it a million times more. So ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And what you get is not necessarily what you think is best, but what you get is what is actually best. And that's what we want, amen? We want what is best, and that's what God's heart is towards us. So, we are filled with faith, loved ones. And as I said at the start, my heart is that you would be enveloped by the love of the Father as he invites you to seek and ask and knock. Individually, for the disappointments that you hold in your heart. The prayers that feel like they're unanswered that you're holding in your heart. The requests that you keep bringing over and over and over and you just feel like God is not listening. No, he is listening. He loves us. He loves when we ask. Don't give up. But wait on his good provision. And that's what we're doing as elders in this church. We're waiting for his wonderful provision of a permanent building that will be a place of hope for the city, that will be a visible representation, a visible reminder in the midst of this dark city that Jesus Christ is the giver of hope. And so we pray, we ask, we seek, we knock, we fast, we trust, we wait. He knows what is best for us. Remember, as one author writes, as the worship team comes now, one author writes, thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. He loves when we ask. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet, and we're going to pray right now.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.